Yo, what up? How's it going, everyone? How you doing, people? How you feeling? Happy Wednesday. This is a fucking intro that I'm recording days before the release of this because I'm going to LA and I'm not going to have my recording equipment, and I'm trying to be responsible. I'm trying to be what's the word? Proactive? Yeah, right? Not preemptive. I'm being proactive, dude. I'm taking charge. I'm getting things done. GTD. I think that's a type of workflow. And my phone's going off, dude. How do I turn that off? Okay. You know, I could restart this intro, but honestly, I don't have the time. And we're going with the flow, dude. We're on the train. We're on the train of this intro, and boy, is it a good one. And I hope there's no one, I hope there are new people listening, but also I hope you guys are like, oh, this is kind of crazy for an intro. This guy seems interesting. I should definitely listen to this podcast. Okay, anyway, this is Dylan Palladino. This is We're All Psychos. This is my podcast, in case you guys don't know. Today we got Carmen Ife. She is a dominatrix dude. She's sick, all right? She also does stand-up. She's a comedian. I found her on Vice. She's great. We had a really good conversation. And I think you guys are going to like it. Talk about a lot of good stuff, about how she started doming, about how she got in the cock and ball. There's so much. Literally, there's a lot. Talk about her new dog. It's a really good episode. I think you guys are going to like it a lot. Please remember to rate and review, as always. And I'll shout some people out next week. I don't have the list next to me. I got to finish packing and get ready for my flight tomorrow morning that my dad just yelled at me for an hour about. When I should leave for the airport because he thinks that I'm going to leave too late and not give myself enough time. All right. Without further ado, here are the words you love to hear, guys. Please welcome Carmen Ife.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Are you
mind? We're all psychos. With Dylan Palladino.
Carmen Ife, or like, what do you like? How do you
mean? Okay, Carmen Ife. All right, wow. Sweet. I'm surprised.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What do a lot of people say instead of Carmen Ife?
I've gotten Carmen Knife, Care Bear Life, Carmenice, Carmen Lafife. And
these are all good alternates, though. Carmen Lafife. Carmen Ife is the dopest, obviously. But Care Bear Nife, or
Care Bear Life, and then the most recent one was from my doctor's office when they called me and they were like, "We're trying to get a hold of Corpaquimpe."
Corpaquimpe.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, "Who?"
I don't know how people misread stuff. Like, you're like, dude, it's right there.
It's literally right there.
Carmen Knife sounds like what you could be as like a Halloween costume, like of yourself.
That's a great idea.
You know, or just even you're just like, I'm Carmen Knife, and then you like do some, I don't know, tease play with a knife. I don't fucking know. There's there's so much shit that you can do. But thank you for being here, dude. I will say we've had many different people on the show, but no one has come looking as good as you are right now. You're really killing it, and you're setting the bar high for what people have to come looking like.
Thank you.
Because you are colorful, man. I love it. It's dope.
This is my comfy couture.
It is?
Yeah. It's also just like, I was like, I'm leaving the house today.
Yeah. And you're going to do other stuff after this, obviously.
But usually, like, it's either I'm dressed like this or I'm wearing my, like, I'm stoned and I need to go to the bodega look.
True. Like, is that with the wearing the...
My bonnet,
Your bonnet? Oh, okay. Yeah, over the hair?
I love that thing.
Yeah. It's huge, too. I saw in the video. Because your hair is pretty big. Like, when you let it out, your hair is pretty big.
It is. Yeah. And I've always had issues with finding one that fits, but then there's this, the woman who makes them, her name's Neek. She got tired of the bonnets being too small, so she just started making her own, and it's like the best. Yeah.
And so does that just keep your hair like in check?
It just keeps my hair moisturized. Because if I just lay my head on any old thing, it'll absorb all the moisture in it and make the hair super dry. But if I got my satin bonnet on, I can just keep it.
Yeah, and you're looking good.
Thank you. Yeah, I look good. And also just like, it's nice for like when I'm too high to decide what to do with my hair.
I'll just
wear a pink outfit and throw this.
Yeah, exactly. You can rock it anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Damn, well, I mean, so I saw the Vice video, and that was how I kind of figured out about this, and it was like anime, kink, BDSM, all this crazy shit. And then I watched it, and I think the thing that was the coolest about it was that you were super open and loved doing it, but you also were trying to make it funny. And this was like your side, this was your side thing. Mm-hmm. You were like, the main thing you want to do is being an esthetician, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, and so what does that like encompass? I know it's something with like skin and facials or?
Yeah, so I would basically be like a skincare professional. Okay. And right now I am sort of doing that and I'm working with sugar waxing. So I remove hair.
And that's using- that like, goop, sugar,
yeah,
shit that like...
sugar, lemon sugar and water, and you like have to mold it. Oh, it's very like physical. And
it looks like it hurts a lot.
It can. It, yeah. I mean, I'm ripping the hair out of her body. It's not going to be, it's not going to be pleasant, but there's a lot of the way that I do it and the way that my shop does it. Like we, there's a lot of communication so that you don't feel alone. And we do breathing exercises.
Really?
And
it's also some meditation before.
Yeah. And it's also really cool too, because you know, every time my dream is to like get my license and have like a sugar dungeon.
So,
yeah, so I can incorporate like BDSM into the service. Cause I'm like, if you're already gonna feel pain, like,
yeah, you might as well be getting off to it or some shit. Yeah,
or do it,
just enjoying it, making it fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's really funny cause whenever I'm thinking about how I am going to pull the hair off on somebody, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to stretch the skin this way and I'm going to move this body part this way because I don't want to sugar it. That would be really painful. But then in the back of my head, the dom in me is like, but you're going to save that for me.
Exactly. You're going to save that for
you can
certain
use that.
Clients.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, are you getting a mix of male and female clients or is it usually more female when you're doing sugaring?
I get a mix.
Yeah.
I get women, men, trans folks, non-binary folks, everybody. It's just like, because that's the thing that I really appreciate about what I where I work too, is that we try not to gender shit because that's fucking, it's body hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's body hair and it's skin.
Everyone's got it,
Everyone's fucking got it. Like,
I just didn't know if you saw a majority of one gender when you were, because you were talking about making a BDSM thing. I would think that'd be mainly more on like the male side that would be coming to it, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah. Oh no, no. I'm sure it would be definitely like a mixed bag, especially like if you have, there are so many different things you can do. You can do temperature play. You can do blindfolds.
Temperature play. Hot and cold stuff, or
You make the room really, really, really fucking cold, and it just amplifies the sensation of everything.
Oh, or it makes it go numb a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Or it could just make it hurt more, which some people really enjoy.
God damn. Well, what made you want to get into like skincare?
I've always really been into skincare, but I think the biggest thing is as I learn more and more about how our bodies and skin works, I realize that a lot of the things that I grew up hating about my skin or a lot of the things that I used to call, you know, oh, I have bad skin because I get ingrowns or hyperpigmentation or blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
The more that I actually study it, the more I realize like, oh, these are all things that are really normal.
Yeah, it's like most people are going to have them.
Most people are going to have them. And also just like they happen super normally. And you realize that a lot of this, fucked up shit that we feel about our skin and our bodies that
the shame and
exactly a lot of that just comes from capitalism, because if you feel really shitty about something,
then
you're
gonna
pay money to do whatever you can to fix it.
Like Johnson & Johnson's not gonna make money unless they go, here, help us make you look the right way.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is that you have to understand that almost all cosmetic products in the United States have to go through the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
And the FDA, like, their main rule isn't like, their main rule is it cannot cause harm. It cannot cause harm, but it doesn't say anything about it must do what it says. Whereas in Europe, the EU certifications over there are like, it has to do what it says. It not only cannot cause harm, but the product has to do what the fuck it's saying. So it has to work. So a lot of people are spending all their money on shit that either makes their skin worse or doesn't work at all. And I like being able to give a service to people that not only educates them on their bodies, but also gives them more of like an ability to connect with this, because I feel like there's just this. I grew up most of my life being disconnected from my body.
Your body, yeah.
So having to work with my body for most of my jobs kind of forces me to really look at it, and I realize, like, wow, a lot of the shit that I hate about it isn't even my shit. It's shit I've been taught to hate about.
Yeah, yeah. When do you think you started to really start, like, to get more connected with your body? Do you remember a moment where you were like, oh, I need to work on starting to love this and actually feel it? Because a lot of people don't, when you say connect to your body, I connect with that, because I go, a lot of times you don't feel in your body. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're in our head, you know? And then, and there's this distinct feeling when you kind of like settle in and feel the fullness of like being comfortable and grounded in your body. That's a completely different feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a lot less anxiety, and you're a lot more like, oh, okay, I'm in this vessel completely. It's not just my mind. Do you remember when that maybe happened for you?
That...
I mean, it's happening consistently. You have to like do it every day, I know. But like it's a, something that you were consciously aware of. Like, all right, now I gotta...
It's something that definitely took years for me. I didn't just wake up one day feeling able to feel
these
things.
This is great, yeah.
Yeah, no, I never really... Especially like the way that I grew up, I just had this huge disconnect with my body and myself, and it was something that just was kind of brewing for years until so I grew up in a really weird, like, I grew up, I call it the cult of two.
Let's hear it. Yeah,
yeah, because my mom, you know, she had a lot of mental health issues, and she was right about like a lot of things. Like, I get my humor from her, my storytelling from her. Like, she's so smart, but, you know, she has a lot of issues, and she just really instilled in me that, like, my very body and my presence caused harm to people.
Oh,
so she used to convince me, she would bring home like her reports from the doctor and be like, look, you're getting me sick, like you're getting me more ill. And so for a long time, I really believe that my presence harmed people around me.
Yeah, it's like a syndrome creating, yeah.
Exactly. And so I ran away from home at 17, and I still really did not think that highly of myself for a while. And
I mean, it
really
makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It just was, it's something that you have to unlearn, and it's a process. And it's what I always tell people, because people look at me and they're like, you're so confident. Like, I want to be like you. And I'm like, you can be. I just started being like few years ago. Like, this is a whole process. But the real thing, I think the real change came when at one point I was just looking at myself and I was saying, I used to say all these horrible things to myself. And I had this therapist in college that changed my life, where I was just talking shit about myself. And she looks at me and she was like, okay, I want you to think of someone in your life that you love very, very much. And I was like, okay, I got the person in my head. And she's like, great. I want you to think that that person is coming to you right now with the exact same issues that you're having. Mm-hmm. And they're telling you exactly what you're telling me. Like, would you say what you're saying to yourself to them? And I was like, Jesus, no, that's horrible. And she's like, so why are you saying it to yourself? Like, you're making it worse. You're treating yourself so badly. And that's when I realized, like, wow, like, I may have left the situation at home, but I continue to perpetuate it when I continue to...
The self-talk.
Exactly. I was like, this isn't helping anybody. And I was like, I deserve so much better. And that's when I realized, like, in order to get to where I need to be, I need to be my biggest fan, my biggest supporter. And there are going to be days where I don't like myself that much. And that's fine. That's human.
We all deal with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We all deal with it. And instead of shaming myself for it now, I'm like, okay, I'm going to let myself feel it. But like when those thoughts start to pop back into my head, I look into the mirror and I'm like, am I the one who's saying that? Or is it this person? Or is it what they want me to think? Like, where is this really
coming from? What's the stem of this feeling?
Exactly.
Like, where are these judgments coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, yeah. I've had that presented to me also by someone go, like, would you talk to someone else like this? And then I think the answer is almost always no.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about your friends or people that you care about, like, no part of you would ever try to dog them or like be super judgmental to them, make them feel bad. But then for some weird reason, we have no problem being just the meanest vitriolic person to ourselves in our head all the time.
All the time.
We can't run from it. We're having those thoughts and they sink in. And sometimes you don't even realize you're having them. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to, the most annoying thing about it is that you have to actively fight against them or actively be like, no, I'm going to choose to support myself here. I'm going to choose to look on the bright side, all that. So like all the positive things that have been overplayed on fucking Instagram to where everyone's like, this is bullshit, but all of them is true and it's real. And it's like, you do have to talk yourself up every day. Mm-hmm. You do have to, I mean, it's an hour to hour thing. You talk about like day to day. It's like, dude, I could have had a bad morning.
Right.
And they've been like, I suck, man. Like, nothing I'm doing is good. And then I come and then we have a great conversation for an hour and a half. And I'm like, actually, like, I love what I'm doing. Like, this is great.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And then 2 hours later, I'm on the couch and I'm like, man, I haven't done shit in 2 hours. What the fuck is wrong? You know, it's like an hour to hour thing. And so everyone gets it and they understand it. But it's it always sucks to realize that it's not going to just go away one day.
No.
It's like you got to just be
something you work towards, but you work towards it because you're worth it every time.
And you got to think about yourself as it's this kind of weird dichotomy where you have to think about yourself as like I'm me, I'm conscious, I'm myself, but also I'm going to treat myself like I'm another person because that's going to make me be nicer to myself.
Right.
Cuz if not, I mean as a performer, I mean you get it. We like it's easy for us to just tear ourselves down.
Yeah.
And also there's this weird thing where we kind of feed into it sometimes because we think it's like the right thing to do. We think it's going to make us better. And yeah, you got to unlearn that shit.
Yeah.
And it takes, yeah. So when people are like, oh, how are you so confident? You're like, you almost want to be like, yo, you didn't see the 20 years before that led up to this shit. Okay.
Right,
I got all this make and I'm looking fucking fire because I'm finally pushing to the other side of where you didn't see anything, but it's like you can put makeup on, but no one puts, it's like a metaphor where it's like, so you put makeup on to look better, feel better, or feel good about yourself, whatever it is, right? Mm. But there's no makeup to show when you're feeling horrible about yourself, you know? You're never like, you're never waking up in the morning and you go, I feel like shit today. I'm going to put a bunch of scars on my face and like a weird lesion. So no one knows that you're feeling like shit, but it's like you are. If you could, I bet you a lot of people you go, damn, they're not having a good day. Look at that. There's a lot of boils on their eye. Oh shit. I got to go. Maybe I should buy them lunch or some shit, you know?
I like doing things like that though, but to make sure that like men don't talk to me outside.
Unfortunate that like women have to do that, but yeah, I get it.
These cute little like blood capsules that they sell on Amazon, and sometimes I'll just like pop one in my mouth. So if someone's following me home, I just bite down, and I'm like, and they don't bother me anymore.
They don't.
Yeah, great.
Especially now in COVID times, they're like, oh shit, I don't know what's going on.
Right?
Yeah, let me. That's patient zero. Let me get the fuck. Damn, that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of an investment because I heard they don't taste good.
They don't.
Yeah. But hey, it's worth it to not get fucked with by a guy.
Yeah.
Because they can be, they just won't stop.
They won't.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't feel like putting blood capsules in your mouth.
Yes.
Another thing that I used to do for people that would sit really close to me on the subway is I downloaded like a home castration video and I saved it on my phone. And if someone was sitting too close, you just put it on full screen and then you just make direct eye contact and then they just leave you alone. You have all this space to sit down.
Oh my God.
It's nice.
That's insane. I love it. That's wild. Holy shit. Yeah. Cause the guy's like, and you're like,
and then you just smile at them. Like,
and you go, I'm practicing for my exam.
Yeah.
They're like, what? You're like, I'll be doing this. Do you want to, can you be my patient? And
right.
The guy's like, yep, nope, never mind.
Until one day you probably, I was like, when's the day that I'm going to
find
like,
some guy that's down with it.
Yeah. Some med fed guy. Yeah. Who's just like, oh my God.
He's like, finally.
Yeah.
I found my queen. Yeah. She can cut my dick off.
Yes.
Or cut my balls off. Damn. I mean, so nice little synchronized sip right there.
Cute.
That was good. So you want to be an esthetician and you're still training to be an esthetician and doing sugaring and all of that. And what led you to get this side hustle of becoming Harmony feeling, like becoming a Dom?
Being broke.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that makes sense.
I was really, yeah, I was, you know, I've been on my own since I was 17. And
so once you ran away from home, that was pretty much it?
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was no on communication. My own. You were done.
Nope. Well, like I tried some communication and then I was just like, you know, no, like I'm okay. And I think there's this whole, there's a lot of emphasis put on forgiveness and like you need to forgive people in order to move on, in order to feel better, in order to do better. And for me, like I'll forgive people that have earned my forgiveness.
Okay.
But rather than carry all that anger because, you know, I'm not forgiving you or you're not doing what you need to do to earn my forgiveness or to make things better, rather than just carry that anger, I just use it for my creative outlets. I'll write.
Okay.
I'll draw. I've been writing. I was like, wow, like I'm going to utilize my awful childhood and write some horror movies, like make some money off of it.
Yeah. You're like turning it into, yeah, turning it into dough. Something. Yeah. Turning it into some money.
But I'm not. Yeah. I realize that just because a lot of people will be like, oh, but like that, those are your parents. And I'm like, they're my parents, but they're also terrible.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a really hard thing. Some people realize that it's like, they're my parents. And I also can't have them in my life.
Right. And it's just like at the end of the day, regardless if someone is your parent, your spouse, a family member, blood relative, it doesn't matter who it is. If them being in your life puts your safety in danger, then it's never worth it. And
not at all.
I've just been so much more happier once I've. That's one thing I'm really grateful for. BDSM taught me how important it is for me to have boundaries and how important it is for me to set those boundaries. And setting those boundaries has completely changed my life. Like there was a time where I felt really guilty about not having my parents in my life, but now I'm like, wow, that was the best thing I ever could have done because I wouldn't have been able to do all the things that I'm doing or get to a place where I feel so in sync with myself and so self-assured if I would have kept that in my life. So it was hard though, because you know, I'm on my own, I'm broke.
Yeah, I mean, you leave at 17.
Yeah.
And so what do you do when you leave? Like, do you go stay with friends? Are you
basically, yeah, I stayed with friends. My godmother was like, you can sleep on my couch, and she basically like saved my life, and she's awesome. Like, she knows all the shit that I do. Like, I don't hide anything from her. And she's like, I don't know what that really means, but like, it's good that, you know, when you're near men, they give you money for your time.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, I know. She's the best.
Damn.
So I've always been, I've had the laundry list of jobs that I've had has been extensive. Like, it's always really funny now that when I do OnlyFans stuff, people are like, oh, like, aren't you afraid? Like, what if your stuff gets leaked? And I'm like, if that happens, I'll be pissed because y'all are seeing my shit for free.
Exactly.
And that's not.
I'm watermarking my shit. Yeah. Don't be releasing it.
You pay for it like everybody else.
Exactly.
But if that, you know, if that were to get a leak, I'd be like, all right, like worst comes to worst. If that happens, at least you're going to see me getting it in. Like the worst thing you'll see is probably the shitty apartments I've been in before. But like the one leak that I am really worried about is I used to work. When I was super broke, I worked at the Cold Stone Creamery in Times Square.
Oh, wow. Oh, and you had to sing?
Yeah, but
God, you must have hated that.
Yeah, but the thing is that they make you audit, like when they make you audition when you apply for the job.
What?
Yeah, so basically they so when I applied to work, this was like years ago. I apply and they have everybody lined up outside of the Cold Stone, and then they bring you in to like the back, and there's this like empty area, and they put you all in a circle.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, we're gonna just ask you, we're gonna go one by one and ask you each some questions. And they're asking us questions that have nothing to do with fucking ice cream. Like, she points at me and she goes, who's the vice president of the United States? And I was like, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Because it was Joe Biden at the time. And she's just looking at me like,
okay.
And I'm like, bitch, it's Joe Biden. Like, yeah. I know it's him. And she's like, oh, well, I was just, you know, I don't know who it is. And I was like, so why'd you ask me?
What?
Yeah, but the best part is...
Wait, how were you... Were you doming at this point or no?
No.
So you were just dressed as just... You were just chill... Like, yeah.
I was dressed up very... You know, it was a job interview.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah. What am I saying? You're not showing up. Honestly, though, it would be kind of tight if you showed up in this. And you were like, Cold Stone, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. They... Such a mess. But
you
they
mix the ice cream with your tits. You're like bah, 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 bah.
That,
yeah.
I've actually been thinking about doing something like that for,
I think it would do very well.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing some kind of like everyone's baking banana bread now, and I'm like, what if I just mashed
the bananas with damn
with
your tits?
Like,
yeah,
it's just yeah. So people are into some fucking weird shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I bet I can imagine, and and you don't need to imagine because you've been asked to do it. Yeah.
Yep.
But so you're at Cold Stone, you're like, what's so the audition?
The audition is that they make you, they put you into groups of three.
Okay.
And then they grab a camera and they're like, you need to take a popular song, remix it about ice cream, and we're going to shoot you singing it.
Oh my God.
So they have video footage of me in the middle of these two people, and I'm like, killing me softly with Cold Stone.
That's
make
good, though.
Make it a waffle cone. At Cold Stone.
That's a good that's a good extemporaneous, just like, bam, let's do it.
Listen, I was like, I need to get some money.
You're like, yeah, that's what being broke will do. It'll make you fucking remix Lauryn Hill to some Cold Stone, Rocky Road bullshit.
Yep.
And you're like, and I'm sorry, Lauren, but I need this money.
I really need this money. Yeah.
I'm so
that
sorry.
Video is out there somewhere. And every morning I wake up and I'm like, shit,
is this going to get leaked?
Is this today the day that my Cold Stone leaked?
TMZ is like, Carmen Ife seen rapping. Cold Stone, yeah.
Oh my God.
I see, but the thing is, it's like, because you have your own brand and your own, you would just laugh about it and like make a joke. You know what I mean? And you would almost like, that's the thing with people talking about OnlyFans getting leaked. It's like, I remember a comedian brought this up to me. He goes, because I was always worried, I'd be like, oh man, what if you like send a nude and it gets leaked? Like, because, you know, we're all comedians like thinking about what if we're famous or whatever. And then he brought it up. He goes, name one famous person who had a nude leaked and it did anything negative to their career. And I was like, I can't really think of it. Like, it, especially now, it comes and it goes. 3 weeks ago, Captain America's dick was on Twitter and then everyone forgot. Like, that didn't affect, he's still going to get jobs. You know, like
yeah,
Justin Bieber's cock was, but I'm saying even for when that big like leak had the fappening, whatever that shit was, like when Jennifer Lawrence's got released and stuff, it was bad. It was like, it was honestly like very bad that happened. But I mean, she's, you know, it's not like, I don't think she didn't get work because of it. I think a lot of, it's bad for a woman because it feels more invasive and I think more violating for sure.
Well, because that's why people... when people leak your stuff, that's why they do it. They do it to exude dominance over you, and they do it to violate you in a way. It's like, okay, you're not... I'm going to fuck you over in a way where you can't give consent, so I'm going to leak this. I'm going to shame you for this. And
or I know you're going to be shameful when this comes out.
Right.
And the only way, to, I think, to fight it is to, like... not be embarrassed by it at all, which is very hard to do, especially if you're in a profession. But it's like this comedian Whitney Cummings, like she posted an Instagram story a while ago and she was in the bath and she was like very high and didn't realize that like one of her tits was out. And she,
I feel that.
And she took,
happened.
You know, shit happens. You know what I mean? The tits are, you're like, oh shit, I didn't know that it was in the frame. And she, I guess she deleted the video like pretty quickly after, but someone found it, screenshot it, and then was like trying to extort her for money, you know? And yeah, it's fucking horrible. And they were trying to get money and then she was gonna go try and get lawyers. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the lawyer fees it costs so much money. And like, you have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not paying for it. It's like, it costs so much money. It takes so much time. You're living with all this anxiety or just this fear of what's gonna happen. So she finally was like, just leaked it and was like, hey guys, on Instagram video, one of my tits was out. It looks like shit. Here you go. I'm doing this so that someone doesn't extort me for it anymore. I'm taking the power away
from
them.
Good for her.
And I was like, of all the ways to do it, I think that is the... it's not possible to do all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a comedian, it's a lot easier than someone who's like... You know, if like Kate Hudson's nudes were... It'd be a little bit different because like she's... she's tied to all these movies and shit. But still, I think if you just actively are like, yo, this happened, someone's trying to, and you turn it on them, you're like, someone's trying to get money from me. So instead, I'm going to be proactive and go, here it is. I don't give a fuck. And that was the one time where I was like, okay, I guess that's the best way to do it. Like, still hard, but.
It's still really hard. And also, I think we just need, as a culture, we need to get more into the practice of shifting the blame where it needs to be. And that's on the fucking person.
There should never be blame on the person who, never.
The fucking person doing the bullshit. And yeah, good for fucking her. Cause I've had that. I have definitely had that happen before. And
yeah.
I think, what was I doing? Oh man. Oh yeah. I was like really drunk and I was it was during when we first got quarantined and I was super drunk and I was doing karaoke on live.
Nice.
And one of my tits was out. I was doing Take On Me. Right. There we go. That's my favorite song.
That's a good, yeah.
And it was just out and like people were just like, yo. Take me. And I was like, all right. I kind of wish that, I could have saved that video and edited it so that like my nipple could be, if I had like captions, my nipple could be like the bouncing ball that like goes on each word that you're gonna say.
That would be really funny. Yeah, like when kids learn how to fucking read.
Yeah,
it's like boing boing. That would have been, yeah. It's, but again, it's like taking it and being like, I'm not gonna be fucking ashamed of this. Whatever, right. Dude, my tit is out.
Yeah.
Fuck you for trying to make me feel weird about it. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I like my tits, you know? And yeah, do I want all these people to see them? I didn't, but now it's like time to move on. Mm-hmm. I think that's the healthiest way to get over it. It doesn't make it any less wrong.
Right.
But it's a hard thing, and it's unfortunate that like there's just it's so easy to keep a digital trace of something that it's like, it's to the point now where in like 20 years, like every politician is going to have nudes out somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's going to, I think it's going to get to the point where like no one even cares anymore because it's like, oh, their nudes leaked. Okay.
Right.
Everyone's nudes have leaked. Like it's who.
Everyone's nudes have leaked. And also just like, I don't know, being a sex worker, I'm just like, yo, everybody's got some shit going on. Like all the people. 100%. All the guys working in the financial district are walking around with butt plugs in them most of the time. So, like,
what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, just in?
Yeah. One of my, I had this one client. He's really big on pain, and he was this finance guy, and he would come to see me, and I'll never forget. He came to see me one time, and he's like in a suit, and I'm like, all right, strip. And he strips, and he's wearing like this beautiful jockstrap made of chains and all the chains kind of connected to this butt plug that was in his ass.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, have you had that on all day? He was like, yeah, I had this really crazy morning meeting and it's like, I just needed to get in the zone, you know? So I was just wearing.
That's how he gets in the zone?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And then he was like, and then I was just thinking about you all day and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, do people think that you were going to go to a laundromat later that day? Because, like, the chains are going to be clinking under your shoe.
How did they not hear it? Or
he's like, yeah, you know, people don't care.
He's like, it's pretty quiet. Yeah. I've got really good pants. They insulated it.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so most people.
Most finance dudes are just trying to. That's always been kind of a cliche where it's like dudes that are very much in charge like to visit like DOMs or have BDSM stuff because it's like the only time they get to feel out of charge or they get to like fully get them out of their heads.
Yeah, it's exhilarating.
Do you notice that there are more high level, not C-suite guys or whatever, dudes that are in like lawyers, finance guys like that are coming to you more often than other?
It's either that or just people that are in, that are just under high stress. Mm-hmm. Like some of my clients just have multiple jobs that are all like, you know, regular jobs, but it's just like a lot. Or I had one client who like was a graphic designer and he was working from home a lot and he lived with his parents, and that was like the major stressor. So like his whole thing would be like coming to me, and he would role play that like I had kidnapped him from his parents, and it's like I am holding him for ransom and all he can eat is ass and blah blah blah. And yeah, so like it's just it's really interesting to see how people's daily lives kind of play into it. And I totally understand where that's coming from, because I'm a bit of a switch myself. Like I'm in charge of everything in my life. So it's nice to be able to give that over to somebody that you trust. And it can
actually when you get to, are you talking about like when you're like with a partner that's not paying you, obviously?
Yeah. And it's just, if that person is, if that person can do it, because sometimes
they can't take control.
Like, I don't, there was this, what was this? This was like two years ago. I call him Noodle Hands.
Okay.
Because like he would like spank me, but it was just like,
Oh, I've been that guy.
I'm like, what the, it's like wet pasta fingers.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
You're like, I need a hard hand and a hard dick too, but more importantly, a hard hand.
Come on. Like, you know.
You need the smack.
Yes, exactly.
I've never been noodle hands, but I had one girl one time, she had a bunch of like horse tails, right? That's what the whip's called.
Oh, little floggers.
Yeah. And so she was like, do you want to use these on me? And I had never, but of course I was like, yeah. I was like, I'll figure it out. And so she was like, have you ever done it before? And I just lied and said, yeah. And then I hit her like so soft and weak. And she looked back at me and was like, the fuck are you? And then she grabbed it, was like this. And she smacked my leg. And I was like, oh, okay, fuck. Okay.
Yep.
Like, damn. And then I did it still, because in my head, I'm like, damn, I don't want to hurt her. But it's like, she wants that.
Yeah.
So I was a fucking beta about that shit, did it, and then I left. I left at 4 a.m. I was like, I gotta get out of here. But it's like, what you need is, there's been a couple times where the smack has made my ears ring, and I'm like, I think that was
that's
a good one.
Yeah,
that's
you'll
a good
feel,
one.
You'll feel it.
You feel it.
You'll feel it. And yeah, it's a pretty mixed bag of people that come to see me. I usually get I've been getting a lot of scent guys recently.
Scent?
Yeah, like guys that are really big on smells.
Oh, scent.
Yeah.
I was thinking of scent, C-E-N-T. Oh, okay,
yeah,
smells.
No, smells, yeah. Like before COVID, there was this one client that I had that would come, and his whole thing was like my feet. And at the time, this was before I started doing skincare work. At the time, I was a full-time dog walker.
Okay.
So I was walking 12 miles a day, every day.
Damn.
It was intense. I loved it, though.
Yeah.
I
really, you're getting out there, yeah.
I really
getting
loved exercise. It. And I was kind of known in my neighborhood that I dog walked at as the girl to go to if you had, like, a large dog. Because, like, I knew how to, like,
you
deal
with keep them, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really funny because my boss at the time, she'd be like, wow, you're so good at, like, keeping them in control, you know? And I was like, girl, you have no idea.
I'm like dogs
I spent
are easy.
All this time walking these dads. Like, these dogs ain't nothing.
Yeah, it's walking these dads?
Yeah.
Like walking men?
Yeah, like dads.
Like what? Just putting a collar around them and then just walking them?
Yeah, you just walk them. They're not allowed to stand unless I want them to take
on the street, though, or?
I did that one time on the street, but sometimes I'll walk them around the apartment.
Wow.
Or, you know, like if we're doing like a human furniture set session, if I'm going to like, you know, if sometimes. There was one guy who was just like, oh, I just want to be like, you just turn me into furniture. Like the whole session was turning him into furniture. So first he was my lamp. So I was reading a book and I made him hold like a flashlight.
He's just standing there for like 10 minutes?
Yeah. And then like I he was my ashtray. So I like made him stand like this and I was smoking a blunt and I'd be like, open. And then I'd ash it
in his mouth?
Yeah.
Oh!
It was really
damn.
Awesome. I was just like, oh, you kiss your wife with that ash mouth. That's so cute.
That's awesome. And you're just like, damn. It must feel really powerful to be like, I'm completely in control.
Oh, it's
and I get
super
to just
awesome.
Low-key treat you like shit,
I
and
can.
You love it.
And yeah, it's great. And it's just like all these things that I used to be really self-conscious about, I get paid good money for. Like, I used to always be ashamed of like how big my feet were when I was growing up.
Do you have big feet?
Yeah, I have like size 11 feet.
Female. When, yeah, okay. So 9 and okay, but I guess size 11 is still pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I just always just like, I don't know, growing up, I just always had like an issue with it. And now it's,
you know,
like,
I remember I had a girl who was like, I have big feet. And I remember I was like, they're not big at all. But that's a thing. You're right. Right. Yes.
And I, now it's like, yo, like my feet be getting me, they be getting me money. And also just like, just weird. Like, for example, my, my grandfather, mm-hmm. like one bonding thing that we had together, like the one bonding thing that we had together was he taught me how to pinch and pick up things with my toes.
Wow.
And it
that's
was
interesting.
Always just like this useless skill until
good dexterity,
now.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, yeah, like if you like getting your ball stepped on or whatever, I'll just chain you to a table and get my feet and I'll just like grab one nut with my toes. And
Hard.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. It's a workout. It's fun.
But that's like, that takes some skill.
Oh,
Grandpa
yeah.
helped you have a specialty.
Thanks,
that's your
Grandpa.
Calling card. Thank you, Grandpa. Shout out. Now I'm picking up one nut with my hand,
yep.
with my feet.
Yep.
Thanks to you. Holy shit. That's damn. That's what like started all this. What started getting into Dom? Because I don't even know how these guys, like, I'm curious how these guys even go, I need a dominatrix. Like, what is, like, how does that even, that thought even come to their head?
Well, when you're into certain things, like, it's like, you know, you should go to a professional to
mm-hmm. get try it out.
Yeah.
Investigate.
Like, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think there's any shame at all in going to a professional to get certain things, especially, like, if some of the certain thing, like, you know, if you're into cock and ball torture, you should probably go to a professional.
You need to go to someone who knows what they're doing.
You don't want to, you don't want to fuck that up.
You don't want someone that's like, it's my first time, and they smash one of your nuts, and you're
yeah.
like, well, mine, it's gone now. God.
Even though that's been like a request, like one guy was always just like, yeah, just like he's do like, it so that I only have one left. And I'm like, yeah, no, we'd have to sign some paperwork.
Yeah,
then
we got to bring some lawyers in.
Right.
Okay. I don't really want to deal with that.
Right.
God damn.
Yeah. No.
And also, I mean, I don't know, but part of me thinks that's a spur of the moment thing that after he might be like, I really wish I still had both my balls. He's like, I know in the moment I thought this was going to be really cool and it did get me off. But after, you know, when you're sitting at home, you're like, I'm missing one of my nuts.
Yeah, but they'd probably want that nut again just to have me rip it off again.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you're right. They want
it's
a
just
repetition.
The cycle.
They want it to grow back. Yeah.
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 It's just
they want
the
a repeat
fight.
Nut. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. What started you doming? Or like, how'd you even, like, how'd you learn about it?
So I, like, I realize now looking back that I was doing some dom shit like before I even knew that it was dom shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was in college and I'm fucking homeless and I discovered.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, but the way you said that is so funny. You're like, I'm in college and I'm fucking homeless.
I
and you're
am.
Like, oh shit.
I am. And
yeah, because you're just staying at your godmother's, right?
Right. And I'm just couch surfing and stuff. And then I discovered this incredible, like, free food and weed app called Tinder. And
okay.
I was like, basically just going, I had it down to a science. I was like, okay. I'll go on a Tinder date and then like 2 days later I'll go on another one. We'll go to a restaurant. I'll wear something where my tits are showing and I'll order something and I'll eat the food and have them talk about themselves. And then I'll just be like, wow, I'm so intrigued by everything that you're saying.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pay attention because I'm so hungry.
Wow.
Do you think maybe we can order something else? And then they just keep talking, and I order two entrees, eat one there, bring the rest home, and then we do the whole thing again. So that's what I was doing. And then, like, while I was doing that, I would run into people who would want certain things, and I was just like, oh.
On Tinder, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be like, yeah, you know, I want you to, like, just laugh at my dick. Like, I want to show you my dick. I want you to laugh at it. I want you to, like, just fucking
roast my dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I dick and roast session. I'd love they I'd be like, fine, get like, me this a drink is most or whatever. Women's
dreams. Yeah.
And I'd sit down and I'd be like, look at that fucking unbreaded mozzarella stick dick. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, what, you know, like you got your balls look like unbreaded chicken nuggets. Like, the damn. Fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know, like shit like that. And then they'd you know, I'd get fed, I'd get some money, you know, it's just like, oh, wow. And then I started doing my research and I was like, wait, these are all kinks?
Yeah, like, you're like, wait, I could be getting paid for this?
Right.
For real?
Right.
Because most of these guys on Tinder, you're just like eating with them and then I guess like fucking them or doing whatever with this, but you're not really getting paid for it. You're just...
Right. And I did have one rule. So when I would go on these dates, I was just like, listen, like you can take me out for a meal or whatever, but... I'm not going to rob you unless you do some disrespectful shit to me. Because we live in this country and education is not free. I'm not about to sit here and educate you for free. If you do some disrespectful shit, I'm gonna rob you. Perfect example being, I went on a date with this one guy and it was actually going fine.
Uh-huh.
Everything was fine. And then we hooked up. And after we hooked up, he was like, you know... You said you were Afro-Latinar, but, like, your ass isn't that big. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And I was going to say something, and I was like, you know what, Carmen? Let this cracker sleep.
Oh, no.
Just let him sleep. And he went to sleep, and I got up. I'm looking around his apartment. I find one of those big IKEA bags, and I go in his kitchen, and he had all these new cuisine art pots and pans, and I took all them bitches.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was like, you can't make unseasoned chicken for nobody, Quentin. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Quentin. Also, I'm surprised you didn't wake up. Those pans probably made a shit ton of noise.
Yeah.
Damn. And you just fucking, you robbed, and you're like, now I got pots and pans.
I did. Yeah, I remember I was living with my best friend at the time, and it's like 5 a.m, and they woke up because I'm putting all these pants away, and it's loud.
Yeah.
And they were like, what the fuck? Like, where did you get all this shit?
Like, we got pans, bitch.
Right. Yeah. I was like, listen, you can either use them or you can ask me where they came from. And they were like, cool, I'm going back to bed. Thank you. And they actually found out where they came from 2 years ago when they came to one of my stand-up bits, and I did a bit about it. And
did the guy ever ask, or?
No. I mean, I blocked him afterwards. Like, I always put that my name was, like, Carmen with a C.
Because
I'm like, oh, what? You're going to go looking for a Dominican girl named Carmen? There's, like, so many.
Yeah.
You'll never find.
There's a lot of them. Yeah. Wow. Damn. Anyone else that you got some good goods from?
Well, first off, I haven't bought an iPhone charger since like 2014.
Yeah, okay, man.
So that's
easy pickings.
A bunch of money. Yeah. I've taken some MacBook Pro chargers. I always thought of doing an exhibit of like things I've stolen from men.
That would be pretty good. Yeah. I'm surprised there aren't guys that like want to hire you to steal from them. Because isn't there something called like fin doming?
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. I love that. That's
My favorite. You've done that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, and fin doming is just they basically like give you their credit card and they're like, I want you to go spend an exorbitant amount of money.
They give you, so you have to be very careful about how you do that. Because I've definitely had situations where guys have been like, here's a picture of my card, blah, 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 please use it. And it's just like, okay, I'm not just going to take your card information without some kind of written statement saying that like you are giving me permission to do this, because all you can do is just call the credit card company and be like, this is
fraud. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been stolen.
But basically financial domination is, it's that control of BDSM, but through someone's wallet. And it can go a variety of ways. It depends on the person and what they want. Like, I've had some FinDom clients where it's like, I literally budget out their life. I'm like, this is what you're going to use for food. This is what you're going to use for gas. And the rest is going to be for me. And if you want to come, you have to pay the nut tax. And you have to send $100. Or if you want...
That's amazing.
You just tax everything. I'm like, there's a small dick tax.
Damn.
The nut tax.
Ugly balls tax.
Or just like, if I have to look at you and this is an issue, you're going to give me money. Like, I'm not, And I've definitely had a few clients where I'm just like, you got to give me some money because you
are fucking ugly, yeah, bro. All right? Ugly. And I'm you're going to pay me to look at your ugly ass face.
Literally, it's like you're walking around looking like a Monsanto mutation of Ricky Gervais and I'm supposed to just look at you for free? No,
uh-uh. It's not happening. It's a tax. Mm-hmm. Wow. This sounds like so much fun. Whoops. Water on the titty.
Yep.
It's okay.
It's the right
usually people
too.
Have to pay for that, you know?
They do.
Yeah, exactly.
They
yeah.
Do. They got, they,
that was a
you
little that was a little teaser for OnlyFans. Guys, if you want to see more of that, you go to our OnlyFans.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Wow. That's okay, but so you're doing this, you're like, oh shit, I'm kinda like already doing some kind of Dom stuff. Does someone mention what a Dom is to you? Is it like strike your interest? You're like, oh, I could be doing that more. Like, how does it go from because you know, I bet you there's people out there that are doing kinks, maybe, or, you know, amateur. Oh, yeah, with my boyfriend or with a couple of girlfriends, whatever it is, I've done what I've done. But it's a big step to go from, I'm going to do this for a couple people on Tinder, to be like, I'm going to make this my, I'm going to be out there so that people know me as that, you
right.
know? Not just, there's not just whisperings of it. It's like, no. I got a homepage, all right?
Right?
You can come see all the shit I do.
Yeah, I guess, So there's this really amazing Dom out in LA named Princess Marks.
Okay.
And she and I have been following each other for a while. And she was actually one of the first people who I used to do this art project where like I would clap back to nasty messages I would get on like OkCupid, Tinder, shit mm-hmm. like that. And I would turn them into artwork. And she would message me and be like, listen, I think you have a knack for this. I think, you know, you should try it. You should try being a dominatrix. I think you have a natural air about you mm-hmm. where you could do this. And I actually started out working at this like, I use the term so loosely. It was like a Dom house, but it was fake.
Yeah.
It was fake. It was not. Well, it was great because I got to meet my coworkers who were amazing Doms uh-huh. and sex workers that I still love and care for a lot today. But the bitch that ran that shit was fucking wild.
Whack.
And she was very exploitative and not fucking cool. But that's kind of like how I started stepping into it, and then I just started focusing a lot on online work because mm-hmm. a lot of my FinDom clients were from like Germany or Australia or...
And they just find you from dating apps? Twitter. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have my Dom Twitter. I have like... You have to have so many fucking things. It's just like, oh my God.
And so do you ever like collaborate with other Doms or like sex workers to like... maybe be introduced to new clients and stuff like via Twitter or Instagram or any of stuff like that, like how comedians will do each other's podcasts and shit. Like,
I've done podcasts with other Doms, and also like if I ever get a client that uh-huh. is into something that I cannot provide and I know someone, like I'll send them to that
immediately.
Person.
Yeah, okay.
I'm happy as long as one of us is getting the bag. I'm happy to do it because like, you know, the amount of times people are just like shit on me and I'm like, I really wish that I could, but it's hard. And
you've been asked to, someone's asked you to shit on them.
Oh, multiple. I get that question like every day.
What?
Yeah. People want me to shit
on
them all the time.
I always think it's over exaggerated and damn.
So no. It's all, yeah. People really.
I bet it's hard.
It's really difficult. I can't shit on command. And like, I'm just now starting to get over my like extreme fear of poop.
Yeah.
Because I used to have, thank you, MTA. So,
yeah.
I had an experience. Oh, this was also when I was working at Cold Stone Creamery.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming home late and it was like 3 a.m. and I get off on the subway. And yeah, this was the night that just made me afraid of shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally.
Doesn't take a lot.
It. And this was.
A lot.
Oh, yeah. So basically, I get off the train and I'm going up the stairs to like exit the train station.
Uh-huh.
And this homeless woman, like mine, it was disgusting, but I have to give her props because she did this in like under 45 seconds. It was very fast. She runs up in front of me on the stairs, drops her pants, takes a Gristiti shopping bag, and proceeds to shit in it. But like the whole time, she's making direct eye contact with me. So she's looking at me like this. And people, a lot of people, when I tell this story, they're like, oh, so you just like watch this lady shit in a bag? And I'm like, listen, you don't know what's fucking gonna happen until you're in this.
You are in shock.
Yeah.
You are frozen.
Also, just like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, this bitch has definitely done this before. Because this was way too smooth and quick.
This is her thing.
Yes.
Okay.
This is
just
her,
like how you pick up balls with your feet. This was her thing.
This was her thing. So she shits in this bag and I'm just standing there. And she shits in the bag super, super quick and then, like, just walks up to me and she's like, yeah, so you got any loose change, any spare change? And I was like, listen, I am so sorry that you just did all this for the brokest bitch on this train. Like, I'm sorry. I ain't got no money. And this was before Venmo, so I couldn't even, like, Venmo this bitch or give her anything. And then she, like, swings the bag at me a little bit. She's like, are you sure?
Damn.
So I ran out.
Aggressive panhandling.
And it got worse because I ran and I turn around and she was chasing me, like swinging this bag of shit. It was like some kind of David and Goliath scat play. It was fucked up. And she chased me. She chased me for a good 2 blocks.
God damn.
I ain't never ran that fast.
She really wanted the money.
She really. And I was like, bitch, I'm broke. You picked the wrong one.
I ain't got anything to give you. Okay?
I have nothing.
You want some of my shit? I'll give you some of mine.
Literally, I have nothing.
I guess that's a really industrious way to use your body excrement to make some money. I mean, everyone to each their own, I guess. I mean, horrible. It's harassing someone, but also
I told her, I was like, listen, Harlem's inventive. Getting gentrified right now. I'm like, why didn't you wait for some of the white people to get off the train? Like,
yeah.
Leave me
alone. They have money. I'll give it to you.
No.
Holy shit.
So yeah.
Yeah. So that's I would understand why it's a little bit hard for you to do scat play. And also like there's so much to clean up and
scat play is really it's very involved, and that's why I always get so upset when people like not only want scat play, but then they try to like lowball you for it. Like this one guy was like, yeah, like how much would it take for you to like, you know, shit on my mouth and then maybe like you use my mouth like a towel or something. And I'm like, yeah, you're giving me at least a band for that. And
easily.
And he's like, oh, well, I know one girl that like she'll shit on me and then like she'll have her friends shit on me and then they step on me and then like I give her $50. And I'm like, so go see that bitch. Oh, right. She doesn't exist.
Yeah. Or it's that homeless lady. Yeah.
Or it's her. I would.
Yeah.
Now I think about her a lot. I'm like, she should be getting money for that.
She could be on OnlyFans making so much money.
So much money.
Bag shit lady.
Yes.
She could be bringing in $50,000 a month. Are you kidding me? What's she doing?
Literally.
Wow. Yeah. Have you ever even tried to do shit play and you just like couldn't do it?
It's like I just can't do it on command. It's
you
really
have a tarp
hard.
And you got, yeah. It's like
it's really hard. There used to be this one guy at the Dom house who was just like, you know, I want you to put me in a diaper, put me in the closet, you know, shit on me, and then like change my diaper. Like I want you to change my diaper. And I was just like, I couldn't shit on. I'm like, this is really difficult. Like,
does all this shit when like dudes are asking you to do this make you like walk around and go just look at other men and be like, damn, a lot of you guys are really fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look at most guys and you're like, oh, you guys are fucking weird. Oh, okay. You're trying to any guy that tries to come off as super confident, like you meet and you're like, nah, I know you want your diaper changed. I know the real you.
There have definitely been certain people where I've just been like, yeah, you want me to shit in your mouth. And like that's fun. Like everybody's
hey, it's
got
fine.
Their thing.
It would make me respect men probably a little bit less, but yeah. Yeah.
Or like, you know, the worst is when you run into clients at places where you definitely should not.
Yeah. Where have you run into clients before?
Oh man. So my friend was giving birth in the hospital and I was there for the first 5 hours. And, you know, she was like, please give me some ice chips. I need something to chew on. And I was like, yeah, I got you. And I go to get her ice chips and I see this like Hasidic family in another room. And this one Hasidic guy just keeps like staring at me, like just really staring at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, what the fuck is your problem? Like what? And then he turned around and I saw his like Biscuit booty, and it was like a Raven Simone like flashback scenario. Yeah, you're like, and I was like, I pegged you last summer.
Oh,
most definitely.
I know what you did last summer, and it was have it me peg you.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know what I did last
That's
summer.
That's so
and it was
funny
you.
That you didn't recognize his face, but you recognized his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
once I saw
biscuit
that
biscuit wagon on him. Yep. Wow.
Yeah, holy. My friend was like, what's a biscuit booty? And I'm like, it's like when like a white person has like a fat ass, but like they don't moisturize. So it's like flaky.
Oh my God. It's disgusting. And it's like, I can imagine it. I like know what you're saying. And like, because it's like when you bring biscuits like fresh out of the oven
and they're just like flaky all over the place. Right at the
and they're like uneven. You're like, oh, Jesus. Oh my God. And you had to... You had to peg that ass. Wow.
I did.
God. I mean, I knew someone that there was a comedian that worked at like there's like a Midtown sex dungeon, like kind of close to here, like on Fifth Avenue.
I know
that. Yeah.
One.
And she said that a lot of Hasids would go to it specifically. Like she noticed it was a majority of them would come at certain
times.
Oh
yeah. Oh, they're bit yeah.
Yeah. And they're it's so like the more repressed, dude, the
yeah.
more yeah. Mm-hmm. The more they can't do it, the more they're like, I gotta get it all out.
Yeah.
Like in a diaper. Yeah, I mean, just getting pegged.
Yeah.
I mean, that, is there anything that you really like doing of all that? Because there's so much different shit to do.
Right.
Is there anything that you really enjoy doing? Like, I mean, I don't know, you might like pegging some dude, but like.
I love pegging.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's fun. Like, I don't know. I think it's fun. I've done it to clients, and I've also, actually, I have yet to do it. To just someone that I'm hooking up with just because like, oh my, I almost did it with this one guy, but like he was really irritating me because he's like, you know, like it's not gay that I'm asking you to do this. And I'm like, of course it's not gay. It's your asshole.
Yeah. You're like, also no one's talking about that.
No one's talking about that. And also just like the only thing that makes you gay is if you're gay. And if you want your booty hole played with, that makes sense. There's so many nerve endings
hey,
there.
Hey, dude, it'd be gay if I was a guy, all right? That's what
like,
it is.
It's just a butthole. Uh-huh. Like, fuck yeah. I love that. I love cock and ball torture. That's always fun. My coworkers always make fun of me because they're like, yeah, you know she's really hurting somebody in a session when I have this, like, laugh that I get.
Oh yeah!
Like when I'm doing it, like it's just like this giddy, like maniacal laugh.
Just like having the time of your life.
I am. It's just a good time. I'm just like, oh, look at you! You can't breathe.
Just destroying a guy's cock and balls.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's sweet.
Is it?
Yeah. It is for me.
For you, it is. Yeah. You're just taking it all out on any whack dude you've ever been with. You're like, well, what's going on? You're nuts right now.
Literally, yeah. And they, oh my God, yeah.
But the thing is, they like it, which is the crazy, like, you are getting this joy from it, but, like, they're getting just as much.
Yeah, so they
how do
bring.
You, when you're doing, like, how do you know how to not go too far? Is like, there does have to be a line that you know. You're talking about being a professional. Like, there does have to be a line where you're like, okay, I can do this, and it's not going to cause, like, irreparable damage.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, how do you learn that? How do you get to that area of expertise?
Practice, research, and honestly, just really being in tune with your submissive's body language.
Really?
Like, I'm always focused on their body.
Mm-hmm.
If... you know, you start twitching in a certain direction that lets me know, like, okay, maybe I should move the pressure from this side and move it over to this side.
Oh.
I try to create, like, some kind of a balance. That way there's not too much pain on just one. And also, you know, you get, like, I ask them, like, you know, do you have a pacemaker? Or, like, do you have, like, because you can't die.
A pacemaker?
Yeah, I had to ask. One of my clients is, like, pretty old. And I always, like, he thinks it's a joke, but I'm not kidding. I tell him, I'm like, you can't die here.
Yeah,
you
want
to die, you die on the subway like a real New Yorker.
That's how
you
die. Exactly.
In my session.
And you just take to Pelham, you're just taken to Pelham Bay Park and just dumped in the water.
Yeah. No, I'm like, yo, nah, I already got enough shit on my plate. Like, if you
can't have someone dying. That's what.
No,
wow.
that's too much. That's too much.
Okay,
and that's
cock and ball.
There's always, like, some form of communication, and there's always just, I don't know. I try to like implement a lot of different things to like create like that balance. Like, okay, you know, if I'm going to get a whole bunch of really extreme clothespins and mm-hmm. pin those on your dick, then I'll put some Icy Hot on your balls to like balance it out.
Oh my God. You're so creative. You look horrible. I'm just like imagining. Wait, by clothespins, you mean the one with like the sharp edge, right?
Like, no, just like real, like.
Oh, like clamps.
Like little, yeah. The,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Little stuff, yeah.
Like that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay, okay. Yeah, I was thinking like, of the pins that go through the skin.
Oh,
like,
you can do that. I don't know how to properly
do that
needle
hurting.
Play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't.
You don't fuck with it.
Okay. Yeah, but I know some doms that do. So whenever people want that from me, uh-huh. I'm like, listen, I cannot administer that
yeah.
without.
Potentially like, fucking your dick up.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I know this person.
She or he knows.
Really,
yeah, they know everything.
They know everything about that. So you can go to them. But like, if you know you want to like choke on my foot while I yank your balls off, I'm your person.
That's amazing. It must be so much fun for you. Honestly.
Oh my God, I have a great time.
It must
time.
Be so much. Okay, so cock and ball is one of your favorite things to do.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love any kind of like impact play, like with floggers, with riding crops, with my hands.
Yeah.
And
are you just yelling shit at them while you're doing this? You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm in charge.
It depends.
Piss in your eyes. Yeah.
That's a good one. I'll piss in your eyes.
Yeah.
I'm usually saying stuff, or most of the time I'm laughing. Like I just
probably
get,
helps with the humiliation more.
Oh my God. I just get so excited that I just start laughing and I just smile a lot. Like I'm just really radiant when I'm in a session. I get really excited. And it depends on, I always ask my submissives, like, you know, is there anything that you want me to specifically point out in sessions? Mm-hmm. And is there anything that you want me to steer away from verbally? Where like, for example, I had one client that like loved verbal humiliation,
okay.
But I couldn't call that. They just said, don't call me stupid or dumb or whatever.
Cause oh,
that's a trigger point for me.
Oh, okay.
That's something that I grew up being bullied about. So don't bring that up. And it's like, cool, great. Put that in my book. That's your hard limit.
I thought they were going to say slurs and they're like, no, call me all those.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the, I make it pretty clear that I don't fucking do like
racist
race play
shit.
And shit like that. But
that must be a big thing in dom stuff, I would imagine.
Oh my God. Yeah, there's like a whole race play and like BBC fetish and all that shit, and I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna do that.
But BBC is bit by cock.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm like, I'm not about to fucking like dehumanize my people for
yeah
you. But like, if you want me to make fun of your biscuit booty and
got
the
it
fact that like
your small white dick,
yeah, I'll do
yes
that.
Okay,
I'll do that.
Okay.
Or oh, what's the other one? That... Oh, wait, no. I was okay with... I usually don't do mommy fetishes. Just because, like, I don't know. I have, like...
You just don't want to deal with that.
I just don't want to deal with it. Yeah, I usually don't, but there
and
have...
also, like, your relationship with your mom isn't great, so maybe
it's
it
not,
might remind
yeah
you of some
it's
shit.
Not a good,
yeah,
it's not a good time, but, I do love like creating like scenarios or whatever.
Yeah, it seems online. It's I saw that you did like different role playing shit, like anime. It seems that you do a lot of anime stuff, or have you got asked for it a couple times?
I've gotten asked. Well, yeah, Faye Valentine was like, uh-huh, my first kind of anime. I get a lot of like movie and pop culture,
okay,
requests, or I just get really. They want the really gross, the really real shit. Like, it's just like, I want you to be working out and I just want you to show me your sweaty armpits and
oh
tell me
God
that you know my sweaty secret and that you're going to suffocate me with these armpits or
wow
whatever. Yeah. Like, I've been getting a lot of armpit fetish requests recently and I'm like, okay.
You're like, all right, fuck it, dude.
Cool.
Whatever pays the... Yeah. Have you noticed that there's one thing that people ask of you more than... Well, probably there was that one thing I was like... You had mentioned like hypno titties.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay, explain hypno titties and like where this realization came from.
Yeah. So I came up with hypnotip therapy.
Okay.
And it's basically different clips where I shoot me bouncing my boobs, either clothed, unclothed. I recently just shot a clip for, oh no, I haven't shot the Halloween one yet. That one's coming.
Nice. Two pumpkins.
Yeah. So I'll like, sometimes I'll do them like immersed in water or oil or whatever. Uh-huh. And the trick is that I'll shoot them and then I do my voiceover where I'm basically telling you what to do, because people always say like, wow, like your chest is so hypnotizing or whatever. And I was like, maybe I can use that. And I remember the first one I did, it was like my boobs were bouncing around and it's like, I want you to look into my breasts and let them guide you into breath.
Wow.
And breathe in and out. Because I figure like, everybody's going to listen to some titties.
You're right.
And I feel like that's the first, breasts are kind of like the first thing you connect with when you're young. And they're just like really kind of comforting.
It's true. So, yeah. That is a, I mean, and then, and titties will hypnotize most people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially if they're, I mean, I saw in that one video you do it and I was like, why am I relaxed now?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. It's really, I did that. I remember I did that one clip. And the amount of people that told me like that it really helped their anxiety, or like I have friends that, I have friends of mine that subscribe to my OnlyFans and they're like, yeah, I watch those to sleep. Like that's what I,
that's crazy.
That's what I watch to go to sleep. And
you're,
it's
helping
like,
people go to sleep with your,
I know,
hypnotitties.
I know, they're awesome.
They are,
I love,
they are
you
really
guys.
Helping. Yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. You know, yeah. That's I mean, that's that, I would say that's like a calling card.
It's
like people know Carmen Eva for her hypnotic tits.
Yes.
Because it's like no one else is really doing that. And it's like you need to have your own app. Fuck Headspace, you know? It's fucking like titty spit. And it's just you just
right.
Yeah, with videos as well.
Yeah.
I think that's some content right there.
It's really comforting, and it's also just like fun for me because it allows me to make boob puns, which is like my favorite thing to do. Like,
I could see that.
Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah, finding my own niche mm-hmm. has been really exciting.
Yeah.
Really, really exciting.
You get to feel like more like yourself mm-hmm. and more like you're taking charge, you know? And
yeah.
Like a, it's like a creative outlet, I would say.
Oh, yeah. It's super fun, and it allows me to combine all the parts about me that I love, which is like my looks, my amazing wit, and my amazing tits. Like, just all them,
together.
All
the trifecta.
And like, I get to do looks and come up with like stories mm-hmm. and shit. Like, it's my favorite. Like,
yeah, you're like, this is for my job. I have to dress like this. This is for work. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm writing off all of this on my taxes. Yeah. did COVID help in terms of OnlyFans, you think, with getting more requests and everything? Or?
Because
there's no not as much in-person stuff, I would guess.
I haven't been able to really do any in-person stuff since COVID just because,
safety. Yeah.
Yeah, safety, for safety reasons. I've been doing a lot more online stuff, but, you know, it definitely has been difficult mm-hmm. because, you know, the stress of the world being on fire and it
yes.
being a global pandemic and everything. It's at least like when I'm doing an in-person session, like I do mm-hmm. my session and that's it. With online stuff, it's like, okay, I have to plan a look. Now I have to shoot. Now I have to edit. Now I have to make sure, like, it's
takes
a
longer.
Lot. Yeah, it takes a lot more work. And, you know, I'm a depressed person. Like,
yeah.
I'm fucking tired all the time.
Dude.
And, you know, like when I get really depressed, sometimes I can't really like look at myself or engage with my body in that way.
Of course.
So I just can't, you know, like Sometimes I can't post as often as I would like just because I'm really sad. And for the most part, my clients understand. But every once in a while, there's always that one point. It's like, but where's your asshole? And it's like, my asshole is sad.
Sad, okay? It's frowning right now. You don't want to see it. It doesn't look good, okay?
Yeah.
Give me a couple days, goddammit.
Literally, right? Yeah. Like, please.
They just want to get off, though. It's fucking... Has, through, because you've been doing it kind of consistently like the past 3 to 4 years, mm-hmm. right? During that time, have there been any moments that come to your mind where you were like, this is fucking insane that I'm doing this? Like, the most fun moments for you. Like, any moment where you're like, this is crazy. I cannot believe I get paid to do this or something.
Yeah, definitely, like... Definitely, like, my some of my armpit videos. Mm-hmm. I remember there was one armpit video that it was, like, an armpit and, like, sweaty foot combo video. And it was very specific because it was when I was, it was in the height of my full-time dog walker career.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, like, I want you to shoot me this clip, but it has to be, like, after a dog walking shift. Like, I want it mm-hmm. fresh, like, you know, fresh out of work. Like, what do your armpits and your feet look like?
Oh my God.
And he had a whole, I love this guy. Like, he, like, you either get people that are like, yeah, I just want feet, you say and do whatever. And then you get the people that are like so detailed about it. He had a script. I call him Quentin Tarantino because he has like this fucking script that he wants me to say,
storyboards and shit,
and so I had to buy a dry erase board, and I'm like writing down the points. It's like, okay, I have to tell him that I know his sweaty secret, that I have this sweaty treat for him.
Wow.
And it's like I have this whole thing, and I'll never forget, I was shooting the clip and my roommate like walked into my room to borrow or a mm-hmm. lighter or something. And she was like, this is the craziest setup I've ever seen you had. I have like lights here.
Yeah.
And then I had the fucking dry erase board over here with all the points. And then there's me in a chair like this, like pointing at my fucking feet, taking my ass socks off.
Yeah.
And like, it was just so...
And people will pay for those socks, dude.
Oh,
ship them out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yo, every worn items, socks, underwear. I don't throw none of that shit out now. I sell it.
Smart shit. So I was just curious if COVID allowed you to make more money during it or actually it's gone down. Because I would think that for sex workers, in a lot of ways, COVID would help. But
it's definitely become more difficult because sex workers our job is all human interaction, and having that being cut off really fucks with your money. And on top of that, sex workers aren't allowed any kind of relief from
you don't get the pandemic assistance, right? None of that.
And
now and when COVID happened, everyone was like, I'm gonna have an OnlyFans now.
Exactly. And that was really upsetting.
Motherfuckers are taking away money away from you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's upset. And it's also just, I wouldn't care so much if, like, if you're going to try to do what we do, at least, like, support the community and, like, be there for the people that paved the way for you to do it.
Yeah.
Like, sets the FAFSA got passed and sex workers were put in danger and people didn't fucking give a shit. Like, people don't give a shit about sex workers until it's time to use us. And that's super dehumanizing and not okay. And...
Yeah, what did SESTA FAFSA do again?
So, SESTA FAFSA was... basically put out there as an anti-trafficking bill.
Yeah, I remember.
And it made it so that, like, third-party sites would basically be completely responsible for, like, what is done on them. So sites like Backpage and stuff. So the thing is that sounds good in theory, but basically what it's doing is it's eliminating websites that sex workers use to not only find and screen their clients in a safe way, but, you know, just allows them to do their business on their terms and keep themselves safe. So when you take away all those things, you have these people that are already in a desperate situation left with nothing.
More
and that leads them to do more survival sex work, where it's just like more on the street and stuff. And actually, sex trafficking has gone up. Way up, because now all these predators are like, okay, these people are desperate. they're going to be more likely to fall for what I have to give.
Or just going to be in a bind and have to do it.
Right, exactly. And at the end of the day, this whole... SESTA FAFSA is really kind of a test. For me, I feel like it's a test for the government to see, to sort of just kind of ease in the whole, like, we're going to be censoring and watching everything that you're doing. But we're going to start with the sex workers first, because then we can put it under this whole moral bullshit that doesn't really
ethical
exist.
Ethical shit. And it's, like, for the children, too. I remember they, like, presented it as a way to combat, like, child trafficking as well.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, not you've just made it worse. And it's just like, if you really did give a shit about the situation, you would be talking to sex trafficking victims and giving them what they need and listening to them. And you would also be listening to sex workers, because we know we know what we need in our jobs. We know what would the best thing that you could do is to decriminalize it.
Yeah.
If you decriminalize it, then we can properly screen everything. Like, then it would be much, much easier to weed out the traffickers.
For sure.
Whereas now,
or even
it's
like
just,
some guy does some crazy shit and you could at least call the cop, or at least do something.
You get to do
something.
Yeah.
Have some kind of recourse. Instead of now, it's like they're going to go, what are you going to do?
Right.
Report me?
Mm-hmm.
This shit is legal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like there's this, it gives the power back to the worker that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So SESTA FAFSA kind of, because I remember I heard about it and I read this article about how it there's a big lawsuit with Backpages about it. And the way they presented it was like, it was shown, or it was pitched as something good, but it really screwed over a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And put them, like you said, in more danger.
Like I was basically at this Dom studio with some of my other coworkers for a while, and we had to close after SESTA FAFSA, because we couldn't advertise anywhere, we couldn't pay rent, and then we had to close. And it's just like, that was our safe space.
Mm-hmm.
That was our safe space, because we were all there with each other, and you know, we all loved each other. But also, like, if you fucking tried it with one of my sisters, I'll fuck you up.
Oh yeah,
like,
Gaijin's back.
Like,
yeah, you have
you don't go after my sisters, never.
So now it's becoming more and more of a full-time thing. Do you think you still want to be an esthetician? You still want to go to, is it called esthetician school? What is?
Oh, yeah. I actually was. I was in esthetician school for most of quarantine.
Yeah.
That was a fucking mess.
Was it? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, boy. That was, yeah, that was very messy. And then I ended up having to take a leave of absence because it was just really messy. And also the director of the program was just really treating me like shit. Like, he was just being an asshole and was like talking down to me the whole time. And I knew he was talking down to me because I was a black woman. And it really irritated me. Like, yes, it irritated me because he was being a racist piece of shit.
What made you think it was because of that?
Because whenever I would try to talk to him and ask him questions about the program and like, what are you going to be implementing to help the students during this pandemic? Like, we're not getting the same education since we can't be in the school and now everything's been moved to online. Like, what are you going to be providing to make it what we paid for, and and you know, like, basic questions. And he would always be like, wow, you sound really aggressive right now, or you know, the tone that you're taking. It would always, he would turn it into a situation where he would demonize me, but at the same time also infantilize me and talk to me like I'm a child. And like, I don't really know what the fuck is going on. And that's usually, and usually, like, when black women speak their truth, you're deemed as just this angry, bitter bitch who just, you know, you're just mad and just gonna spew hate or whatever. And that pissed me off, because I was just like, first of all, that's racist. But second of all, like, what really made me mad was just like, you're gonna talk down to me and you're shaped like a fucking suppository. Like, are you serious?
Not only are you talking down to me, you're also fucking ugly, bro.
Like, the money that I am using to pay for this fucking school, I get from shoving things that look like you into other people.
Yeah.
And you want to talk down to me? Like, get the fuck out of here. But he ended up leaving. So now I'm like, okay, cool.
You can maybe come back.
I'll go. Yeah, I'm going to go back just to finish, just so that I can get my fucking license. But it was just, it's messy.
But you don't think you're going to stop doing domming anytime in the future?
Probably, yeah. Probably not. Like if I'm not doing future, in-person yeah. sessions, I'll definitely, I love making clips.
Yeah.
I love having multiple forms of income, and I love being able to express myself in a different way that celebrates my body. Cause mm-hmm. I was like, I spent most of my life hating my body. It's nice to be able to celebrate it and to love on it. And also I want to continue doing it because mm-hmm. it sharpens so many of my skills.
Really?
Yeah, it sharpens my ability to multitask, my ability to manage. Like I manage mm-hmm. my emails, I manage all my messages, I manage all my DMs. It allows me to hone in on certain, you know, skills with my body, like how I move my chest, how mm-hmm. I move my hands to get that perfect, you know, like, ha, you know.
And the balls, yeah.
Yes.
Like how you bounce your titties up and down, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
It takes practice.
It does take practice.
I mean, how many hours a week are you looking in the mirror and bouncing them up and down to make sure they look perfect? You're like 10 to 15.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. And then you film it and you make money off of the practice.
Yes.
It's an art. Titty bouncing is an art.
It
okay?
really is. Yeah. It's not easy.
It's like juggling, you know? It takes you gotta like learn how to have each hand moving independently.
Right.
Yeah.
But luckily, like they're attached.
Thank God. Yeah. Because if they were going all over the place, you'd be picking your titties up off the ground. You know, they're yeah. dirty. You gotta like brush them off.
Right.
Yeah. You can't be having that.
No.
So that's good. So this is like something new that's now part of your life and you're really like, you're really with it.
Yeah.
Do you have people asking you like, oh, I'm thinking about getting it? Like, you probably have those people all the time. They're like, I'm thinking yeah. about getting into it. And like, what do you suggest? Blah, blah, blah.
I suggest that you pay a sex worker to tell you.
Oh.
And I say that because, you know, like when I first started, I just spent hours doing research myself and just like
yeah.
trial and error and mm-hmm. figuring it out. And, you can save yourself a lot of time and grief if you just hire a sex worker to tell you. And okay. some sex workers offer that, some don't. Some already have like plans and shit mm-hmm. written out. Like I know one dom, Mistress Marley, she's amazing. She has like a whole sex academy Patreon thing.
Really?
Like, yeah, you subscribe. It's like anywhere from $5 to $25 a month. And uh-huh. it's very thorough. Like she like explains.
Extensively explains how to become a sex worker.
Yeah. So there's like obviously the information is valuable mm-hmm. and our time is very, very valuable.
For sure.
So just hire a sex worker to tell you. How to do
have
it.
You had to deal with like being in a long-term relationship during this and how to deal with the dynamic of someone who maybe is like they didn't know or now that they're with you and they're like I'm uncomfortable about it? Have you had to deal with anything like that?
No, because I'm the type of person where if I think we're going to a date or mm-hmm. something, I kind of just lay it all out there.
This is what I am.
This is what I am. This is what I do because I'm proud of who I am and I'm very proud of what I do. And if I'm going to date anyone or have a partner, you need to support me.
Yeah.
You need to support me. Like I'm not about to have somebody clowning me or looking or feeling. If you feel
jealous.
Uncomfortable with yeah. it, then we can't.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work out. And
I think it's hard for a lot of people to think about because they're like, they're getting, because it sounds like a lot of what you do is not fully sexual. It's more like you doing acts to people, but also you are pegging people. So there is, I'm guessing at some point, like just full on, just like penetrative sex at some, like potentially.
Yeah. And yeah. also like what, like my only, like I'm fucking myself on my only.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, yeah. 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 True.
So.
Yeah. So it's like, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, how do I get over the fact that, they're going to be with other people and they come home to me. And what would you like, how do you explain it to someone that oh, I'm with you though. Like this is my job.
Well, because yeah, it's exactly that. It's a job. And mm-hmm. also, I would tell that person that they need to examine those feelings mm-hmm. because this is my body.
Okay.
This is my body. It belongs to me. I can do what I want with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I choose to do certain things with it, that doesn't make, like, I'm not yours to own. I'm your partner to be with.
All right.
And that's the thing. Like, it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, I like to just lay it all out on the table and just be honest about it, because if you're not comfortable with it, you can just walk away.
It's not going
to
work.
But I'm never going to change myself or make myself smaller to make yourself feel comfortable, to make that person feel comfortable. I'm not going to do that.
And also, like, it could be, at the end of the day, it's still a committed, intimate, like, emotional relationship with one person. There's just, like, I am also doing something else that does include some things that we do, but it's on a completely different plane.
I'm
not in love with any of these people that I'm having sex with. Doing it so I can come home and then enjoy having sex with you. It's definitely, you have to expand your mind to be, like, from the norm of what we're taught are normal relationships. But I think if you find someone that is as connected with you as you are with them and is down for it,
right,
they'll be like, I can figure it out.
Yeah, and it's usually, like some of the people that I've dated or whatever saw or mm-hmm. while I've been doing this, like, if anything, they're the ones who help me shoot, or they'll be like, oh, like,
that's cool. I feel like it would make it easier.
That's the kind of situation that I want to be in. Like, I'm never in, I haven't been on a date that someone hasn't paid me for in years, like, a very, very, very long
time. So they'll hit you up and pay you just to go on dates with them?
Yeah, because my time is valuable.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, but hold on. So if we, let's say we matched on a dating app,
uh-huh.
and then I asked you on a date, would you then say, I have a price, or would it depend on if you were into me or not?
It depends on what app you're getting at me. If you're hitting me up on, like, my Dom app.
No. Of course, you're being paid for that. Right. I meant like a regular dating app.
Oh, like a regular, like, it's, I guess it depends. Like, if I feel, yeah, for the most part, I've usually just been, like, taking money, just because I guess, like, the last dates that I went on for free just really sucked. And I was like, well, fuck, man. Like,
well, most dates suck. And you're like, well, do, if it's going to suck, I might as well get money from it.
Right. But they do. But, like, I don't know. There's something about me that just, like, attracts weirdos. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah.
Oh, I couldn't. There's nothing about you that would make any sense to me why that wouldn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, the last date that I went on for free, yeah, we were about to kiss, and then he was like, yeah, you're so hot, you know, you remind me of my dead aunt. And I was
no, you were right there, dude.
Yeah. And
you,
I was just
so,
like,
close.
I was like, damn it, like, at least, you know, if I had some money, I could buy some weed so that I can forget that
this happened. Oh my god.
But, like,
that's a moment when you go, fuck, man.
And it's, and that, my, that's, I've had two different people say that to me, that I remind them of their dead aunt. That is
so specific.
It's really, I don't know.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, very funny, but so specific.
Yeah.
Damn. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's why, I think that's why I stopped going on dates for free, because I'm like, I don't know, I just attract weirdos that just want to fuck me because I look like their dead aunt.
And yeah, you're like, I can't be doing dead aunt play for free.
I really can't.
You'll do it for money, but you can't,
right.
cannot be
yeah,
doing
I'll
that
be
shit
your dead
for
aunt
free.
For money. But
yeah, I'll be your dead aunt for money. Yeah, of course. Carmen Yefe will be your dead aunt for money.
I will.
You know what? I'm going to name the episode that.
Thank you.
Carmen Yefe will be your dead aunt for money. Wow, that's...
I will.
That's so
Cash
awesome.
Cash app me and I'll be your dead aunt.
Cash app her. She will be You're dead on. Is there anything that you, well, I know you just got a dog. I was going to say, is there anything else that you're really into besides doing this? But it seems like the dog's probably taking up all your time.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's perfect.
Very cute.
She's
yeah.
perfect. Her name is Plátano Maduro.
Plátano Maduro. Okay. Yeah,
my sweet plantain.
Sweet plantains.
Yeah. She's just like, she just makes me so happy and she just brings me a peace that I just did not think was possible. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, especially during this whole like quarantine and everything, yeah. like my depression, anxiety, and PTSD have just been like, this is our time to shine.
They're
bitch.
Like, we're back, baby.
Yeah, literally. And I'm just like,
it's like
oh,
that
my
meme with VeggieTales where it's like, can we introduce ourselves?
Yeah, literally, yes. Yeah, and then they each take turns. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And it's been so hard for me to just do everything that I usually do. Like, mm-hmm. I've just been so just like, I don't know, heartbroken in a lot of ways.
What have you found it's the hardest for you to do, you think?
Oh my God. Like, it's been so hard for, so sometimes one of my PTSD triggers can be mm-hmm. literally like looking at myself.
Really?
Literally okay. looking at myself. And sometimes it can get so bad that like I cover up the mirrors in my house.
Wow.
Because I can't, like, I can't look at myself.
It would just set you off?
Yeah, it would just set me off. And, you know, when your job relies on you, how yeah. you look, it can be really fucking daunting. And, you know, sometimes like I get night terrors and I can't fucking sleep and damn. It's all kinds of fucking shit. But like ever since I got, you know, Plátano, like it's like once I start to feel anxious, she just knows and she just like gets on my lap. Or like if I start to get kind of shaky or something pops up, like she'll like roll over.
Animals can tell, man. It's very, they have this sixth sense that like we're not in tune with.
Right.
And they can tell. It's right. very, very strange.
It's,
I mean, it's beautiful.
It's, yeah. yeah, it's really beautiful. And like she just, in the moments where I can't see things about myself that mm-hmm. I like because of my mental health issues, mm-hmm. she's able to let me see those things because, you know, she loves me so much. And I'm like, you have no ulterior motive. You're just a fucking dog.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing. Yeah, she just like feed me. That's
yeah,
it.
She's just like, and she, you know, she has no ulterior motive to like love me as much as she does, but she just does. And I'm like, okay, well, if she can, I can. And also, when I taking care of her motivates me to take care of myself more.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm like,
it's
okay,
for something else. It's right. not just for you. It's like less selfish. You're like, I need to take care of myself because I have something else that
right.
relies on me.
Right.
And I love her so much.
Exactly. And she's just, it's complete. I haven't even had her a fucking week. And
yeah,
she's
and you're already smitten.
Oh my God, completely changed my, like my roommates are like, yo, like you wake up every morning, like laughing now. Like I'm just
nice.
So happy and like excited. And you know, now I feel like I can take on everything the world has to bring to me because
yeah.
I have her waiting for me at home or I can bring her. I bring her to work with me when I'm sugar waxing people.
Really?
Yeah, she's super chill. She just sits there. Even the first time I brought her, she was like, what the fuck are you doing to these?
Oh, because you're just putting wax in people's bodies?
Well, yeah. Well, not just what. Like, I'm really, one of my clients was talking about how they want to bring a camera next time I give them mm-hmm. a Brazilian because they're like, I want to show you like what you look like when you're sugaring people because I'm really thorough. Like,
and like focused. Yeah,
yeah, I have a headlamp. Like I'm gonna
oh,
get in there and make sure I get
all those hairs are gone.
Yeah.
How many assholes did you have to see before you were like not fazed by them anymore?
Well, that's the thing. Like being a dom kind of prepared me for like.
Oh yeah, you'd seen a lot of buttholes already.
Yeah. And buttholes are awesome. Like
yeah.
it's like a fingerprint. Each butthole is different. Each
they are
is
really
unique.
Each butthole is like a snowflake.
Yeah,
and they also kind of look like them a tiny bit.
A little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, just with the star a little bit, you
just
know.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit. Wow, each butthole is a snowflake. So sweet. So, everyone, you guys, everyone out there, remember, okay? You guys all have unique buttholes.
Yes,
okay?
You do.
And you need to be proud of them. Okay.
And you need to exfoliate them.
You need to. You need to. Wow. You need to exfoliate them.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
exfoliate your butthole.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like some sugar scrub or something, or what?
No. So we sell these exfoliation mitts where I work, mm-hmm. because it's like a bathhouse mitt that fits right on your glove.
Yeah.
And it fits like a glove on your hand, and it just allows you to get in all the crevasses and stuff, and that's mm-hmm. important. But yeah, you want to exfoliate your buttholes because, you know, anal comedones are a thing.
What's that?
That's like, you know, when you get a blackhead in your anal folds.
Oh.
And they're totally normal because think about it. It's like... you got these folds, right?
Yeah.
And then you got the butt cheeks. What are the butt cheeks doing when you're walking around? There's creating like some kind of friction,
a little bit of sweat.
Exactly. So all those things combine, like very easily you can get some irritation down there. Mm-hmm. You can get anal comedones. You can get all kinds of stuff. So just exfoliate your butthole.
Guys, exfoliate, get those blackheads out of your butthole, okay?
And if you, if you need help, hire me.
She will help. You know, she will love doing it, okay?
I will love it.
That's her bread and butter.
It is. Bread, butter, bread, jam, all of it.
And she'll do any of it, okay, for a price because she's killing it. Oh, man. Thank you so much for doing this. This was awesome.
No problem.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Lisa Spliffson. You can find me on Twitter at Madam Namio. And my OnlyFans is also Madam Namio.
What's Madam Namio?
Oh, that's my dom name.
Okay, Namio.
So, yeah, named after my favorite artist, Namio Harukawa.
Okay.
He's a Japanese fetish artist that only draws portraits of fat and thick women crushing men with their asses. I have a couple of tattoos.
Oh, shit.
So it's like, here's two girls making out, but then like if you look closely, they're crushing some guys here.
Oh, that's a guy's face. Wow.
Yeah, and then there's another one where she's like reading a book, but the guy's a swing.
Oh, she's sitting on the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and then I have another one here.
In between the tits. Yeah, or under him.
I have them all over my body.
Wow. What's his name? Namio?
Namio.
Namio.
Namio okay. Harukawa.
Namio Harukawa.
Rest
Look
in
up
peace.
His... Oh, he's R.I.P., dude. To a real one.
Really?
But the artist, the art's still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's... Yeah, I was going to ask about the tattoos. I was like, those are some interesting tattoos.
Oh,
those, yeah. Those, and all white dudes, I will say, are getting real just getting their comeuppance.
Yes, they are.
Damn, sitting on, just crushing their faces.
Yeah.
And guess what? I bet you all those white dudes are liking it.
Yeah. What's happening?
They're all
of
enjoying
course.
It. Beautiful. Okay. Madam Namio or Nomi?
Namio.
Madam Namio. Find her there. Lisa Spliffson on Instagram. That'll probably direct people to all of that as well.
Yeah.
And then on Twitter, Madam Namio also,
yep.
right? Thank you so much for doing this. This is awesome.
Anytime.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, psychos. See you later.